Hey, Augie.
Good afternoon, Nia. How are you?
I'm excited because we have a SCOTUS nominee.
We do have a nominee for the United States Supreme Court today. Yes, we do.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, who we are going to refer to as Judge Brown Jackson.
Judge Brown Jackson, that is her formal title, because currently she serves on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and she's been nominated by President Biden to replace Justice Stephen Breyer, who after 27 years of service on the United States Supreme Court, announced last month that he was stepping down at the end of the current Supreme Court term. Yep.
Which is nice that he didn't go in the middle of one, because that's super annoying, right? Here, quick, read up on these cases and good luck, or sit out your first 6 months because you can't really do anything.
He actually did it like a professional.
Yeah.
In the sense that he's going to stay on until the end of this term, which means that if he had retired during the middle of the term, that would have left the court with 8 justices until his replacement would have been nominated and confirmed. And some justices actually wait until the summer, okay, which then puts a heavy burden on the White House and the Senate to get somebody confirmed by the end of September.
Well, and the Senate, as we have often discussed, is off on vacation most of the time, actually. So getting them to confirm somebody. Okay, so let's just, if we could, just a moment. So Justice is the Supreme Court.
Court, that's right.
Judge Brown Jackson is from the D.C. Appellate Court, and that is not an uncommon place to find nominees to the Supremes, right?
That is correct. So on the current Supreme Court, you have 3 former D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals judges, Roberts, Thomas, and Kavanaugh.
Oh, okay. And she may have served with Kavanaugh then, because that's been recent enough.
No, she just got on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals since President Biden nominated her last year.
How did her nomination for that go?
The vote was 53-44. 3 Republican senators actually crossed lines. Senators Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins from New Hampshire, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
I you know what? I love Lisa Murkowski because she cannot be bothered, man. She's like, dude, I'm from Alaska. We go our own way, regardless of what the party says, regardless of what.
Did she
get herself elected by a write-in campaign?
She was an independent, yes, because she lost the Republican Party primary. She got primaried, she was encouraged to run as an independent. She won it. And since then, you know who her biggest fan is in the Senate? Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has made it very clear that the Republican National Committee will support Lisa Murkowski, even though the former President Donald Trump has backed a Republican state candidate to run against her in the primaries.
Well, and Lindsey Graham is interesting. Is Judge Brown Jackson from South Carolina?
No, and this is going to be one of the more interesting things as this plays out, Nia. Lindsey Graham made it very clear that he wanted Federal District Court Judge Michelle Childs, who is from his home state of South Carolina, to be picked by President Biden. And he's already commented on social media that President Biden quite obviously was paying attention to the radical left wing of the Democratic Party. So I'm not entirely sure that Judge Brown Jackson will get his votes for her nomination on the Supreme Court, which, by the way, is not unusual, right? And, you know, to give you an historical example, Robert Bork, when he was nominated to serve on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the vote was like 97-0 in favor of him to serve on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. But like 5 years later, when Reagan nominated him to the Supreme Court, he ends up getting rejected by the Senate. I
mean, okay, so even though the vote went for her just recently,
yeah,
it may not go for her this time.
Yeah. What I think will happen is both Murkowski and Collins will vote to uphold her unless something comes out during the Senate confirmation process, okay?
Turns out she's a serial killer with heads buried in her basement or
yeah,
whatever.
Right. She belongs to a secret, you know, liberal fascist wing. Okay, blah, blah,
of
blah.
Some uber radical thing.
Yeah, right, okay.
Where they just can't vote for her.
They just can't. Okay. But
can we
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were gonna say.
She's got a fascinating background. All right.
Okay.
Was born in Miami I think her mom was a school principal. Her dad was an attorney for a school district in South Florida. She went to Harvard undergrad and law school. So she checks those boxes in regards to our recent Supreme Court justices, right?
The Ivies and
the Ivies. Okay, yeah.
Coming from money.
No.
Her parents sound like they were middle class folks.
Yeah, upper middle class folks. Okay, upper middle class folks. But after Harvard, okay, she did clerk for a couple federal court judges, including Justice Stephen Breyer. So if she's confirmed, she will be the third justice on our current Supreme Court who's taking the seat of their former boss.
Oh, okay.
Roberts was a clerk for William Rehnquist.
Okay.
And when Rehnquist died, Roberts was picked to be Chief Justice to replace him. Brett Kavanaugh clerked for Anthony Kennedy. And when Anthony Kennedy retired, Kavanaugh was picked.
It's almost like when you're an alumni of a school and your kid gets preferential treatment.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, the justices have a lot of clerks. Like, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, like they have one or two at a time. There's a bunch of clerks. So it's not a direct one-for-one kind of thing. You don't clerk for a guy and then get his seat.
Yeah, I would be shocked, by the way, if we find out in the future that Stephen Breyer actually lobbied President Biden on behalf of Judge Brown Jackson. Because Stephen Breyer just doesn't do that, right? I mean, that's not what you do.
Right.
You know, when you're a judge. Okay, you don't lobby the elected branches so that your former clerks, you know,
can get jobs. Right.
But I mean, in terms of her background, Nia, she at various points, she will be the first Supreme Court justice since Thurgood Marshall with a criminal defense background. She was a public defender for about 2.5 years. She also served on the United States Sentencing Commission. And she's also worked in big law. She actually worked for a corporate law firm for a couple of years. So she's got varied professional experience coming to the court.
Sounds like she's got a lot of chops.
Oh, yeah.
Can I take a moment to complain about something?
Yeah, sure.
Because I know we're trying to keep this relatively short, so I don't want to go deep into my complaining. But I am frustrated that the president, I'm frustrated with President Biden, that he set out as his criterion, I will have a Black woman, instead of I will find a really good judge and put them on the Supreme Court. Oh, look, it happens to be a Black woman. He has made her race and her gender center to this discussion. And I am frustrated by that, because I don't think that had to, I understand politically why that had to happen. I understand he was trying, similarly to his choice of Kamala Harris, he was trying to speak to a lack under,
yeah,
in the, in the Supreme Court, right? Like he was trying to speak to,
yeah, underrepresented communities in regards to important government positions.
But I think it will weigh on her. If she is successful, I think that there will be some, in some quarters, there will be snottiness about, well, of course she would vote that way. She's right. And they will make her gender and her race central to her, just her jurisprudence, as opposed to she has jurisprudence and they happen to be from a woman of color, right? Like it's,
yeah, I mean,
and that same thing similarly happened to Sotomayor, right? There's been a little bit of a sort of, well, I mean, she speaks for the Hispanic women. I'm like, no, she speaks for one Hispanic woman named Sonia Sotomayor. Like she,
yeah, I mean, and I've said this, for instance, to students who have written papers about Justice Sotomayor. I'm like, you do know that there's plenty of scholarship about Justice Sotomayor that says she is a really good justice, and they don't even mention,
right?
Okay, that she is Hispanic and a woman, okay? That she is, in many ways, the liberal conscience on the current Supreme Court. I mean, particularly with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg's passing, okay, Sonia Sotomayor has, if you will, that role on the court,
right?
Okay, a position that was previously held, for instance, by, in addition to Ginsburg, Thurgood Marshall, right?
Right.
And so, it's really a shame, because if you just look at Judge Brown Jackson's, if you will, credentials, I suspect with a Democratic president, she would have been on the short list anyways.
Right. I mean she's clearly got chops. She's clearly got chops. She also passed a vote to get onto the D.C.
Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
In a very highly polarized United States Senate.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean.
And it's unfortunate that she's going to carry that tag, I think.
Yes.
At least for a while.
Yeah, because, I mean, she'll get on the court. And I know this is one of the questions you wanted to touch upon in this short, but the impact she will have on the Supreme Court, unfortunately, in terms of case outcomes, will be minimal. Okay?
Right, because it's a 6-3 court right now.
Yeah, 6-3.
She could stand up. She and Sonia Sotomayor could stand up and shout at the top of their lungs, and they would be two women shouting into the wind.
Because
right now,
those two plus Justice Kagan, which, by the way, that is also very noteworthy. All three liberals on the court are women.
Right.
And by the way, folks, this should not go unremarked. Okay, 4/9 of the Supreme Court is now comprised of women.
Right.
Amy Coney Barrett, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, okay, and Brown Jackson. I am projecting.
Assuming, right,
yeah,
you are assuming.
Yeah, and by the way, I know this is another question you had. Yes, I am projecting she will get on the court. I think
okay.
The vote will,
that was the other question I was going to
yeah,
ask.
Yeah, I think the vote will be something like, you know, 53-47, 54-46. I actually think that Murkowski, Collins, it wouldn't shock me if Mitt Romney voted in favor of her, and they may pick up another Republican senator. All 50 members of the Democratic caucus in the Senate are going to vote for her. I mean,
right. And if it's a tie, Kamala Harris is going to vote for her.
Yeah, so she's going to get on the court.
Okay.
But in terms of the impact on the court short term, there's going to be very little difference in terms of case outcomes. If you compare her to the justice she's replacing, she's probably more liberal than Stephen Breyer. But Stephen Breyer was a faithful, consistent liberal on the court. Okay.
Right. Okay. It's not changing the balance of the court. It's not.
Yeah, it's not changing the balance. Now, what will be interesting is what kind of impact will she have in the minority in regards to opinions and the development of Supreme Court jurisprudence? Because remember, Nia, you and I have talked about this on previous podcast episodes. Scalia frequently had his greatest impact when he was writing in dissent.
Right.
Clarence Thomas, it's what I regularly
tell students now is you should read the dissents because they may come back in 20 years as the majority opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Clarence Thomas was staking out positions when he first got on the Supreme Court, oftentimes in solo dissents. And now he's got two or three colleagues who are like, yeah, that stuff makes sense. You pick up another vote. Remember, Justice Brennan said the most important number on the Supreme Court is 5.
Right. Right. You don't have to have everybody. You just have to have 5.
You just need to have 5.
And right? We should remind listeners constantly that the court swings in its conservative versus liberal versus that swings back and forth with deaths, with retirements. So final sort of wrap up question for you, if you don't mind, about this judge is, will this open the door to more judges of color at all the lower levels? Like, is that one of the things that Biden is engaging here, is the, we need more people of more underrepresented folk in the judicial system and sitting in the judge's seat?
Yeah, if you look at President Biden's nominations for federal judgeships in his first year, he is charting an unprecedented, if you will, path for nominating women, people of color, for federal judgeships. His percentages, are significantly higher on pretty much almost every demographic characteristic, compared to any president, including Democratic presidents, right? Not even close.
That has got to grate on Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, well, Mitch McConnell is fond of saying elections have consequences, right?
Right.
So you know what Mitch is waiting for, Mitch McConnell.
Midterms.
Yeah, the midterms and then 2024, okay? Right.
When he can try to stop.
Yes, I mean.
The progressive onslaught,
as I've been telling students, Nia, Mitch McConnell will go ahead and keep former President Trump, basically at bay, a kind of sort of uneasy, if you will, detente until it no longer serves Mitch McConnell's purposes. If Mitch McConnell concludes that Donald Trump cannot win the presidency in 2024,
he will ruthlessly replace him. Someone else.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell will go ahead and jump ship to the person who he thinks will win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
because Mitch McConnell is a partisan.
Right.
Okay. And Mitch McConnell understands that elections have consequences. Okay. And that's why he played his game in 2016 when he refused to go ahead and allow Barack Obama's nominee to replace Scalia, Merrick Garland, to ever get a vote in the Senate.
Right, which the timing of this is to prevent that from happening. Yes. Next yeah. year. If yeah. he does end up a Senate Majority Leader again, they want someone firmly ensconced in that seat. So now she goes before the Senate hearing. How does that, she goes to one of the committees, right? It's not the full Senate.
That is correct. Listeners, the next step is the FBI will do a full background investigation.
Which surely she has been vetted by the White House.
Yes. Well, you know, hey,
Biden's been around the block. He actually knows you're supposed to do that sort of thing.
Yes. Okay. Then she will meet with as many senators who want to meet with her.
Okay.
Then they will actually schedule hearings in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And listeners, if you want a really good example of political symbolism, of political, if you will, circus, make sure you tune in for the Senate Judiciary hearings to confirm Judge Brown Jackson for the United States Supreme Court. Okay.
And they will be on CNN, but they will also be all over YouTube and all kinds of places, because she's going to be a fascinating nominee to watch.
Yeah. So what I predict will happen is, it would not surprise me if Nia, by at some point in May, we will know if Brown Jackson has been confirmed.
Okay.
Because we're almost to the start of March, right?
So it's going to be pretty quick.
Okay, but I mean, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee is Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois. And Dick Durbin has made it very clear in the press in the last couple of weeks, he was waiting for the president
to make his nomination.
So he's pretty much cleared the decks of the Senate Judiciary Committee of pretty much all lower federal court nominees, so his committee can focus on getting Brown Jackson on the Supreme Court. Yep.
Okay. Right. Well, then we'll come back when there's more news.
Yes. I suspect that we could probably fold this into our usual Supreme Court term wrap-up.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, then we will do that. We look forward to that. Thank you, Avi. All right.
Thank you, Nia.